Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So as we've been working through our series called Full, we've been looking at the I Am statements of Jesus, and we've been anchoring that in John 10:10, where Jesus says that I have come that they would have life and have it to the full. So we've looked at Jesus' statements like, I am the bread of life, the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And last week, Joanne talked about, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, these aren't simple metaphors that Jesus may use in passing. There's incredible trust that we can gain from that. There's truth and there's richness. They show the very character of Jesus and the very character of God. There's great comfort that we can gain from them. There's truth that we can hold on to. Those statements bring us to good places. They really show in all that we can trust Jesus. So this morning we're going to dive into John 14. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I like to explore, but I like to know what I'm exploring and how I'm exploring it. So I'm a planned adventurist. Anybody out there? Anybody like just to go into the unknowns? No plan, just go into the unknowns, yeah? Not me. So I like to look at the pictures of destinations. I like to see what the end result is, whether that's a mountaintop, a lake, the stillness of a lake, or maybe going into a new city and exploring that, but I like to see the architecture, maybe it's the very scenic points. So I like to study that because there's an appeal when I know the end result for me. And I also like to study the map. I like to know how to get there. So whether there's any turns or intersections, I like to know the route to get there. So I like predictability. Don't surprise me. I like predictability. I find there's trust in predictability. And there's trust in simplicity in it, in an adventure. So that you can see the bigger picture, whether that's a map or whether that's pictures, you can see the bigger picture, but then you can choose to submerge yourself into it. So that as you know the bigger picture and you submerge yourself in it, there's some confidence that you can gain there from the map or from the final destination. So a few years ago, on a wet November weekend, my wife and I and then our then six-month-old decided to go to Whistler for a few days. So we were in Whistler, and this particular afternoon, we decided to hike or walk Lost Lake. Anybody have done that? A beautiful, beautiful place. And so I do what I do. I look at the pictures of the lake. I look at some of the scenic areas on the trail, and you can see the disaster of the trails behind me. And I look at all that, and then I study. I see which way we're going to take and how we're going to, our timing on all of it. You know, with a six-month-old, there's a lot of variables there. There's so much. You might get out of the parking lot, you may not. So I'm looking at all these different things. It may go smoothly, it may not. So I see the pictures of the lake and I study the map. I try to make this as predictable and enjoyable for us on that afternoon. So as we go, the first two-thirds of the trip are awesome. We're taking lots of pictures, as you do as new parents. We go around by the lake. We enjoyed the stillness of the lake, and it was a cold day, but we were warm. It was wet, but we were good with that. Everything was peaceful and enjoyable. And then we're coming across some trails, and we're quite a ways in. And I start thinking to myself, I wouldn't dare say this out loud. I start thinking to myself, I didn't think that trail crossed here. I didn't think that was the name of it, and this is actually taking a little bit longer than we planned. This doesn't meet together. We're kind of like we're going in the opposite direction as it seemed, and so finally, disaster hits, and my wife starts questioning me. So she's wondering, and of course, then I look at Google Maps. We have a phone. I look at Google Maps, and on Google Maps, you see the lake, and then all you see is trees just around you, and this blue dot. We're in amidst the trees, but there's no sense of direction there. You can't see which trail will take you out of the place. And so this was affecting our day, our hope for the day. We had a six-month-old. We're trying to keep warm and comfortable, and it's affecting our enjoyment of each other. You know, she says she wasn't lost. I was just not listening to her. So this is, we're kind of in this midst of stuff. We're losing trust that this is going to be a good journey. There's some uncertainty, some confusion, and some concern in the midst of all that. We survived as we're here today. But as we look throughout John 14, before we dive into the text, we're coming to these moments where the disciples have come from this high of seeing Jesus perform miracles, seeing Lazarus raised from the dead, as Joanne talked about last week, seeing some profound teaching and who Jesus is, and coming to this place where they are having the Last Supper. As we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, they're coming to this place where things are looking a little less hopeful from their perspective. Jesus' language is turning. It's turning a little bit more bleak. It's turning a little bit different. And this is the evening before Jesus was arrested and then crucified. It's what we are going to read from in this text. So things are getting a little bit weirder. Jesus is talking about going away and them not coming with them. And so the disciples are like, well, where are you going and why can't we go with you? So there's some interesting feelings that the disciples are experiencing as Jesus is talking here. So there's confusion and there's concern and there's some uncertainty from them. They're not lost. Maybe they just don't know where they're going. And that was the similar feelings that we had at Lost Lake. We're not lost. We just don't really know where we're going. That maybe the disciples in this moment were looking at Google Maps and all they see is trees and this dot of where they're at. There's no direction for them that they can gain from. So John 14, 1-7. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way where I'm going. No, we don't know the way, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? You see, there's a genuine desire from the disciples to follow Jesus. But there's some uncertainty there. They don't know how to physically follow Jesus in the next moments if he's going and they're not coming with him. But there's also this uncertainty because I don't think they knew how to follow Jesus, their Savior, their Messiah, how to spiritually follow Jesus, how to be Christians in the moment. There's a great a book that called Love Does by Bob Goff that we've read. Some of our leaders and volunteers have read that here at Living Waters. And Bob writes a great sentence. It says this: it's hard to walk with Jesus and run ahead of him at the same time. It's hard to walk with Jesus and run ahead of him at the same time. I've met with many people over coffee and have sat down and just try to figure out what it means to follow Jesus in their life. How do they follow Jesus? What does that even mean? Whether that's going through a circumstance, making a decision, or maybe that's the start of their faith journey. As we walked with people through the journey of baptism, even the past couple weeks, having those conversations with them, it's really cool. I've also sat with a lot of people over coffee and wondered those same things about my own life. How do I follow Jesus? What would I do that would imitate Jesus in this moment? And the beautiful thing is that those often have been the same cup of coffee. Those have often been the same tables with the same people, wondering those things together. And it's beautiful that as a church community, as a community, we can sit down and walk through those things together. It's not necessarily about question and answer, but about figuring out what it means to follow Jesus daily. So Thomas said, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is reassuring the disciples here. And he's reassuring them in the same way as with the previous I am statements. That as he says, I am the good shepherd, or I am, you know, the bread of life, it's reassuring us that he can be trusted, that we can trust in Jesus. And he's also reassuring them the same way that God reassured people throughout the Old Testament. And in particular, in Exodus 3, essentially they're saying that Jesus is saying, trust in me, draw close to me, I am. And in Exodus 3, we see some very intimate language between God and Moses. As Moses is called to lead his people out of slavery, God is directing him and relating with him in these moments. And he says some really intimate things. I am who I am. I am sending you. I will be with you. I have promised to rescue you. This is your sign. I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. And one of my favorites in chapter 33, I know you by name. And God has never stopped saying that to people. I know you by name. So this is God reassuring Moses that he can be trusted. This isn't some flaky, spur-of-the-moment trying to convince somebody. This isn't a trust me to sway you in one direction or the other. This is substantial. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is revealing his divinity. If God can be trusted, then he can be trusted. That maybe when pictures are clear or in the midst of confusion, concern, or uncertainty. Because the disciples were scared in this moment. They had a fear of missing out, a fear of losing. They had a fear of severing their ability to relate with God if Jesus was not physically present. They wanted to relate with God, but they didn't know how and what that would look like. They were so fixated on the practicals of the moment that they were forgetting about the person of Jesus. That if God himself is saying, I've got this, then he's got this. And maybe in your life, God in some way, shape, or form have said to you and proved to you, I've got this. Well, that means he's got this under control. 1 John 5 says that, and we know the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. That he is the only true God and he is eternal life. So Jesus can be trusted because he is who God is and he views us as God views us. That his character doesn't change or alter seasonally, but he relates that way all the time. That Jesus isn't the good shepherd in shepherding season. He's not the bread of life to relate to the bakers. He's not the light of the world when it's dark out. He's not this or that, but he's all of those things all the time. Like God, he is the I am. And in fact, when God relates to Moses in that moment and says, I am who I am, that in that moment, he's saying that whatever I am, I will always be. Whatever I am, I will always be. If God has revealed himself to you in his character, his likeness, his love for you, whatever he is, he will always be. The true character of God is consistent. It's continuous. In our foundations class, we talk about the oneness of God, that the creator is the sustainer, is the provider, is the lawgiver, is the judger, is the forgiver, and so on. That God is one and everything acts in sync. It doesn't conflict. That as he provides for us, he guides us. As he loves us, he is able to judge us, is also able to forgive us. and that what he creates, he sustains, he comforts, and he continues to give life. And Jesus shares that same oneness of God. So being the way, the truth, and the life, we can begin in him, we can continue in him, and we can end in him. So one commentary applies it this way. As the way, Jesus is our path to the Father. As the truth, he's the reality of all God's promises. And as the life, he joins his divine life to ours, both now and eternally. How cool is that? So being our way, Jesus is saying that our need for a Savior isn't filled by walking in a specific direction, but walking with a specific someone. So it's not the path your feet may take, but the path your heart, who it walks with. The disciples were in beyond what they studied. They were in the middle of trees. They didn't know where they were. There was uncertainty. There was they were in unexpected places. But the solution for it, from Jesus' perspective and his teaching, the solution wasn't to fix that, but it was for them to trust in him. Though sometimes our journeys lack predictability. Yours? Mine? We're in unexpected places, whether that's in our family or our relationships. Maybe that's our faith. That may be our health. Maybe it's what we hope for. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a hurt that has taken an unexpected turn in your life and how it's applying it today. So in these times, and I think through this, that unexpected prayer or how God relates to us may not look like solving the problem. But maybe it's about how God, filled with compassion, has his Holy Spirit comforted us in those moments. So I think about this in my life, because it can be difficult. If you're here on Father's Day, you may have heard a bit of my story, but I think, okay, I lost my dad. But yet, in the midst of that, I experience incredible peace. So is the answer to prayer that peace that I felt, or that I hadn't lost my dad? Or are there answered prayers where, well, what is the answered prayer in that moment? That can be a tough thing to think about. What does answered prayer look like to you? What does answered prayer look like to God? So Jesus is still the way. Trusting God brings us divine confidence that he knows what you don't know. That a solution may be not to fix a practical, but the solution may be in a person, in Jesus. How do we look to see what God is up to in spite of what's happening to us or people around us? How do we trust God in those moments? You'll know the way when you don't seem to know the way. Because Jesus is more interested in the person you become than the things you do or the solutions to life. He's more interested in the person you become. And one author writes, when you've got a guide you can trust, you don't have to worry about the path you're on. Because it's not about the physical path. It's about the person of Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Also trust in me. That being our truth, Jesus is proof that God keeps his promises. That I can begin in him, but I can also continue in him. And I think a big part of life, I know I feel it, is growing tired and weary. That new becomes normal, adventurous becomes mundane. We stray away from or we deform what was meant to be. The trust that we had in what was is now questioning what is. And the disciples were in the midst of this as well. They were entering new territory. Their friends were betraying Jesus. They were denying Jesus. The walls were crumbling around them, as it seems. And sometimes we blame them. Why would Peter deny Jesus after experiencing who he is? But then I think that maybe it's easier for us to believe now that we know how the story plays out. It may be easier for us to believe knowing how the story plays out. But then I think, okay, then this is how my mind works a little bit. What if I didn't know how the story plays out? What if I were in the midst of that that scene with the disciples, not knowing how the crucifixion and resurrection plays out? Would I have stood idle by, wondering or hiding? Maybe I would have denied Jesus like Peter. Maybe I would have even betrayed him. Or maybe I'd be standing there and I could very well be the person yelling, "Crucify him." What might you do if you didn't know how the story played out? We can't really blame the disciples. I think I might do similar things. I don't know. Because we don't know how our today, how those solutions or those fixes or how our day-to-day life plays out. But we do get to make a choice of how we trust in Jesus or whether we don't. That I'm thankful he's the truth, and I'm thankful he's full of grace for my questioning, and maybe full of grace for your questioning as well. That he's the only one who can bring truth about himself, and Jesus is the only one who can bring truth about us and our situation. And I'm thankful because he sent his Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And so when I feel like I'm pushed or pulled or that lies are seeping into my heart, I can stop and I can pray and I can say, Holy Spirit, would you lead me into all truth in this moment? Would you pour truth into my heart and would you filter out the lies that I feel that are seeping into my heart? And you can do that. You can do that daily. You can do that when you feel pushed or pulled. Do you feel like you're in the middle of trees, maybe in the unknown? Maybe there's concern or uncertainty or some questioning. What are you going to do? Do you doubt or deny Jesus? Do you trust him? What do you do when life gets difficult? So Jesus is our life. John starts his gospel by saying this: God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. And that the Word gave life to everything that was created. The Word, being Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So from our breath, to our purpose in life, to our salvation, to our destiny, we can start with him, we can continue in him, and we can end in him. That God has created us, but he determined that we would be meaningful with him, to him. That he chose for you to be meaningful to him. So that the life that he generously gives is love motivated. And in John 3 it says this: for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, would not perish, but would have eternal life. Would have eternal Zoe life, as we've been talking about throughout this series. This full life, life to the fullest. Not materialistic, but life to the fullest in how we trust Jesus. So there's a thought that we need to earn God's best for us. How do I earn God's best for me? If I do this and don't do that, and how do we earn God's best for us? Well, you don't need to earn it. You draw close to it. You trust in God. And Joanne said it beautifully, that eternal life starts now. That we don't have to wait for eternal life. It's not a destination. It's not a career choice or a promotion. It's not, something happening or something being accomplished. That's not what eternal life means. But it's walking with Jesus now, and it's walking in step with his Holy Spirit. It's not a destination, but it's walking with somebody. I'm often in a hurry to get somewhere, and that I overlook the seemingly insignificant moments. But there's incredible value in those seemingly insignificant moments. There's value in concern or uncertainty. There's value in there. Because God doesn't run away from us in those moments. He's not afraid of those moments. He's not even afraid of us doubting him in those moments. In fact, he still continues to draw close as we choose to draw close to him. Good or bad, you can walk in eternal life now. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas Kempis says this, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. So he continues on to say that Jesus is the way you should pursue, the truth you should believe, and the life which you should hope for. So each day I need to be reminded, Jesus reminded me, Mike, I'm the way today. I'm the way that you should go. I'm your source of salvation. It's not about what you need to earn or what you need to do. It's in me. Or that, you know, when there's pride or false judgment, or then there's lies seeping in, that Jesus reminded me, Mike, I'm the truth. I'm where the truth about me, you know, I am who you say I am. We sung that today. That needs to be found in me. Jesus needs to continuously remind me that. Or that when I try to accomplish my own ambitions or craft them out, Jesus is saying to me, Mike, I'm the life. I'm where true, eternal, Zoe, full life is found. It's in me. It's not in anything else. It's in me. Maybe we all need to be reminded of that daily. How might you trust Jesus in the midst of your confusion or your uncertainty or your concern? Maybe you're feeling in the trees, a blue dot, not knowing where to go, and maybe you feel like eternal life is getting out of the trees, when in fact eternal life is while you're in the midst of the trees and Jesus is walking alongside you, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, this afternoon, when you're having a terrible time this week, he still is. If you're having a terrible time, I don't wish that on you. Maybe we can stand together as we conclude in prayer. One of the hardest things to do as a follower of Jesus is to trust in Jesus. How can we trust Jesus today? Jesus, thank you for your patience and your grace with us. Thank you for continuously loving us. God, we thank you that you created us and you chose that we would be meaningful to you. So as we look to you today, this morning, as we look to you this week, God, would you help us trust in you? Would you help us walk in step with you, that we wouldn't get bombarded by the trees around us, but we would know that you're with us, that you never leave us, you never abandon us, but you're always, always faithful. That doesn't change seasonally, but that's continuous. That's your character, that's your nature, and that's how you relate with us, God. So we ask that you would strengthen our confidence in you and help us trust you, and thank you for the grace you give us along the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being here with us this morning. We'll see you next week, if not before. Go have a great sunny day.